And then, of course, don't miss Passover. When you look at this, you're going to see how key Passover is this year. And don't forget the Passover prophecies, because we're trying to move from Passover to Passover. And remember, all decade is about passing over. Now, this month becomes really important for you because you've got to deal with any root of bitterness you've got. Linda Heidler is going to be talking about forgiveness she's very revelatory with it when she shares that with you. Look and see if you have a root of bitterness, because what it can do is make your whole, it can make the whole body bitter and ruin the whole body and defile the whole body. So with that, that becomes very, very important for you. Now, this is also a month that you're going to regroup and you're going to get rid of any fear that you have. And fear is an emotion, but it can also be a spirit. So if you have a spirit of fear, you're with everything that's been going on over the last year. I mean, think about a year ago that we're approaching now. With everything going on, you'd be surprised how fear can creep in on you. So you want to ask the Lord, show me hidden fears that I have. I'll be listening to people and they say, well, I don't think I'm operating in fear, but all along, all I hear is fear coming out of their mouth. They won't do this, they won't do that, they won't press into this, they won't press into that. Fear's very deceptive for you. And if you fear change, you're in a terrible place right now. So we're going to ask you to get out of any, ask the Spirit of God to deliver you from fear right now. It's a crazy time out there, but the Lord is telling us to be light, and He's telling us to unlock a dimension of faith that we've never unlocked before. So faith becomes important. So we'll be focusing on that all this month with you to try to help you and to move you forward. You should be saying, Lord, I'm finding my way into the identity that You have for me. Now think about Esther. At Purim, they all wear masks. Now think about us over the last year. We've all had to wear masks. This is a month that you unmask yourself. Now I'm talking about spiritually, and I am also saying, don't let fear or bitterness rob your identity for your future. Matter of fact, the one thing you yell all month long is, my fear will laugh. Now, we've got several people that we want to encourage you during this time of Shabbat tonight that you will be encouraged by. We have Tobias Lunds, Linda Heidler, as I said. We have various people. Elaine has a testimony. It's just awesome. We're going to repeat some of the words and worship that we've been in. We want you to enter in and Shabbat Shalom. That means come into a new place of wholeness as you move forward. God bless you. Enter in to this month of Adar. Don't miss first fruits. Don't miss first fruits as we enter in to this month. Robert Heidler will be speaking on that Sunday, and I'll be orchestrating the service. Now, the thing we want to for you to enter in with first, Barry Miracle sent us a message that I'll be showing you later, but he also is demonstrating how to use nunchucks. I want you to know those giants in your land ahead, God's already given you weapons. Now let's enter in.
We don't have to fear man. And so for all of us to get to this place, we're hearing all these prophetic words, everything the Lord's saying to us. But when you fear God, you don't have to fear man. Don't you know that when you became His, you weren't supposed to be liked by everybody? Some of you are going to have to come into the knowledge that people are going to talk about you. And they're supposed to talk about you because you're His. He was rejected. He was abused. Everything that He went through, you were going to have to go through to be His. And so you're just going to have to get used to people not liking your faith, not liking you, talking about you. That's the only way you're ever going to come into the fullness of your identity in Him.
The Lord is saying, let go of yesterday's ought, that your altar may prosper today. Let go of yesterday's ought, that your altar may prosper today. Now, if you're holding an ought, let your hope rise up in Him and break that cycle of voices around you, that you can enter into a new prosperity on your altar.
For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, forever and ever, forever and ever. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, forever and ever. Amen. Let it be declared that yours is the kingdom. So I won't fret and I won't fear. The blood of the Lamb helps me to draw near. No, I won't fret and I won't have any fear. The blood of the Lamb Yes, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. He has set his angel charge over me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for me.
Again, Shabbat Shalom from Global Spear Center. This is Linda Heidler wishing you Shabbat Shalom. For the past few days, God has been dealing with me about something, and I mentioned it to Chuck, and he said, yeah, go take that for Shabbat. So for the last few days, God has been dealing with me about how my sin has caused suffering in other people, that they suffer the consequences for my bad choices, my bad decisions, my unkind words. And I feel very responsible for that. I feel a lot of guilt, remorse, regret. And it's something that the devil has used continually to torment me. And he'll bring back memories of times when I made wrong decisions, times when I said things I didn't intend to say, and that it caused other people to suffer, and there's no way I can go back and undo it. And these are all things that I have confessed to the Lord. I've asked forgiveness from other people. I've repented of them. But that still doesn't take away the pain, and it sometimes doesn't take away the long-lasting consequence of what my sin did to someone else and the pain and the hurt that it brought to them. So earlier this week, God just spoke to me like out of the blue, and he said, when I took your sin, I assumed responsibility for the consequences of your sin. And that was hard for me to accept. I had to really determine, was that really the Lord saying that to me? Because I just felt like the reality is there are consequences for your sin. He can say, I assume responsibility, but there are still consequences. And I can't just say, oh, that's all up to him now. Sometimes out of rebellion or disobedience or just ignorance, I have made decisions that have brought consequences. And he said, yeah, there are some consequences, but I take responsibility for the long-term effects of your sin. And then he said, do you really believe that I can cause all things to work together for good? Despite your rebellion, your disobedience, or your ignorance, Can I take the consequences of those actions on your part and still make it turn out good? And I said, well, yeah, I have to believe that. I have to believe that you can do that. And he said, that's right. I can correct, I can heal, I can reorder things that got messed up because of your sin. And I can put things back on track so that sin does not have to cause someone to miss their identity or miss their destiny. I assume responsibility for the consequences of your sin. And when he said this, I could see immediately how he had done this in my life. I thought of him taking consequences for sins that had come into my life. He said, if I can do that for what others have done to you, do you believe I can do that for what you've done to others? And that was harder for me because I felt the personal guilt and shame of the harm I had done to others. And he said, well, let me ask you this. Did I leave you to suffer long-term consequences because of how other people sinned against you? And I knew that he hadn't. I mean, I could give testimony after testimony after testimony of ways that he's healed me, he's restored me, he's put my life on track, he's restored identity, he's restored destiny. Despite the sin or abuse from others. So I had to say to him, no, you didn't leave me there. You did not leave me suffering long-term consequences because of how others sinned. And there were several incidents when he asked me this that I could vividly remember, of incidences of repeated abuse. And he healed me emotionally. He healed me mentally. He healed me spiritually. He put my life on the track it would have been on had those abuses never occurred in my life. And part of the process of that was my willingness to forgive the ones who had sinned against me. And he said, what I did to heal you and restore you from how others sinned against you, I'll do for others. And I'll do for the ones that you have sinned against. If they're willing to forgive me, I can heal them. And what I saw that was that refusing to forgive someone was like saying, what you did to me was so bad, was so injurious, I will never recover from it. For the rest of my life, I will live with the consequences of your sin against me. And since I'm going to suffer for the rest of my life, I will never forgive you. And that mindset really blocks faith that God can heal or restore. It really blocks God from being able to do that in your life when you've already said, I will never be able to get over this. There's no way I can recover from this. Then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And despite the power of God or the desire of God to heal you, that level of unbelief that is manifested in a refusal to forgive will block God from intervening and from bringing restoration into your life. Because forgiveness really is an expression of faith and hope that God will restore, that He is able to make up for the loss. He is able to heal despite what others have done to you. And I saw that once I made a choice to forgive, then God assumed responsibility for my restoration. He assumed the responsibility for the consequences of their sin in my life. And once those I have sinned against choose to forgive me fully, then God assumes responsibility for repairing the damage that I caused with my sin. There's no way I can ever repair, ever restore, ever heal some of the people that I've sinned against. Only God can do that. And when they open that door of faith, like I had to open that door of faith, then He can do that in amazing ways, ways that are beyond our ability to even conceive. And this has given me so much hope for many who have suffered because others have sinned against them. And it's also set me free from a weight of guilt and responsibility and shame and regret and remorse and all the things I would feel when I would remember choices I had made, words I had said that I knew caused harm to other people. God, He's not expecting me, He's not demanding of me to make it right completely with them. Sometimes there is restitution. There is always a place for repenting and asking for forgiveness. And then sometimes beyond that, there's restitution. But as far as total restoration, total healing, only God can do that. And He's asking me to have faith that He will. And He's asking them to have faith that He will. And this is really part of the finished work of Christ. When He took our sin on the cross, He didn't just purchase the forgiveness for our sin. He purchased the remedy for removing the effects of sin. Two very different things. It's one thing to have your sin forgiven. It's another thing to have the effects of sin removed from your life. That is really where you step into the abundant life, when you're not carrying either the weight of your own sin and your guilt and shame, or you're not carrying the effects of how somebody else has sinned against you. The remedy for the removing the effects of sin was purchased at the cross. When He said it's finished, He had finished everything that was necessary to accomplish that. And when God finished His work of creation, He finished His work. And He set Shabbat aside as a day for us to enjoy His finished work. For us to look at this incredible world that He's made. This weekend here in Texas, we may have snow. That's amazing. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. He created it. Enjoy His finished work of creation. Enjoy His finished work of companionship that He brought. He said it's not good for man to be alone. He brought a woman to man. He brought companionship. Enjoy the companionship that God created with friends and with family on this Shabbat. That's part of His finished work of creation. But when Jesus was on the cross, He also said, it's finished. And there's a finished work of dealing with sin that He wants us to enjoy. He wants us to receive that forgiveness of sin, but He also wants us to experience the removal of the effects of sin in our lives. And whether it's in relationships, whether it's with us personally, whether it's identity or destiny, however sin has affected your life, He has the ability to remove those effects. He assumes responsibility for the consequences of sin, and He can remove them. And He can cause all things to work together for good. Even the sin that we've done or that's been done against us, He can cause it to work together for good. So on this Shabbat, I really want you to meditate on that and just receive anything God wants to give to you with that finished work of Jesus regarding sin. Do not let a weight of guilt because of your sin continue to hang on to you. And like I said, it's one thing to confess to the Lord and know He's forgiven me. It's another thing to see somebody else is still suffering because of what I did. Let Him assume responsibility for that. Trust Him that He is going to cause even that to work together for good. Now, on Sunday, Chuck said that we are in a 5-week season where he was going to reorder us, and that during that 5-week season, there would be faith steps that God was asking us to take. Now, faith always involves risk. If it doesn't involve risk, there's no faith in it. But he said each week there would be a faith step. Now, for some of you this week, your faith step may be letting go of your guilt and shame and really trusting Jesus can take care of this. I don't have to live forever with the weight of what my sin caused someone else. Jesus can restore. He can heal. He can repair. He can put their life back on track. And I'll take a step of faith and let go of all this I've been carrying and trust Him to do that. For some of you, your faith step may be to let go of your unforgiveness and to say, I'm going to change my mind, change my belief that I could never recover from this loss, never recover from this pain. I'm going to take a step of faith, forgive those who sinned against me, and trust Jesus that He really will take responsibility for the consequences of their sin in my life. And He will restore me. He will heal me. He will put my life on the track that it needs to be on. And that I will come into the identity of who I really am, and I'll fulfill the destiny that He has for me. So whatever faith step He's calling you into on this Shabbat, don't hold back from it. Trust Him. Step into it. Enjoy His finished work on the cross and have a Shabbat Shalom. Bless you.
Hello, this is Elaine Priestley, and I want to welcome you to Shabbat. Recently, last week, Chuck taught on preparing to launch. And I watched that from the Shabbat service of last week. I watched that several times and I was taking notes. And finally, I texted him and said, Chuck, this teaching is so amazing and that I have gotten so much from it, but it's right where I am today. It helped me to understand what I've been going through. And you know Chuck Pierce, he said, great, I want you to share that. So tonight I'm going to share my testimony. Many of you know that I had the knee surgery, and we're moving forward. However, as a result of that, I have transitioned into a new season off of the dance team. Well, coming into a new season hasn't been easy. I knew it was coming. Chuck Pierce also knew that it was coming. But when it finally happened, it was like, whoa. And I was just waiting before the Lord one day and just pondering, what is next? And I have a devotional called First Fruits, and I opened it up to read for that day. But it fell on May 29th. Well, I am not one to just open the Bible or open the book and say, speak to me. But it fell on May 29th, and the title of it was A Change in Season. I thought, oh my God, God is speaking to me. And it was from Genesis chapter 17, when God changed Sarah's name. And He talked about, in the devotional, how she went from one season to the next. And then the following chapters brought in about the birth of Isaac, the promise, all that she had gone through in her unbelief and her laughter to the birth of Isaac. And I said, Lord, this is right where I am. So I have worship music going, and suddenly the music changed, and the song came up saying, it's time to celebrate. And it was jamming and going forth, which some were startled me because I'm listening to worship music and weeping and reading about a change in season. Then it seems it's time to celebrate jamming. And I remembered where Chuck said a lot of times when we end a season, we don't celebrate. So suddenly I jumped up and I started dancing. I was so excited. I was ending a season. It wasn't anything wrong with being sad about it because I had to let that go and be ready to move into the new. So I danced around the room. It's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate. I took communion and then I said, I need to sow a seed. I need to sow a seed into my new season. I received in the mail a letter from Gloria Zion and they had the new offering envelopes. I'm like, God, you have such a sense of humor. So here I am entering into a new season, wanting to sow a seed into the new season, and I have a new Gloria Zion offering envelope. Isn't that amazing? So as I'm continuing to move forward, remember now I'm listening to Chuck's teaching, preparing to lunch, and I'm beginning to move forward. And then several weeks ago, I went through a real rough time. I began to become delusioned because of what I was going through. And I had faced this giant before. Remember, emerging from the swamps in the land of promise, but there are giants there. And for me, it was an insurmountable odds. That's how giants are to me. And I was saying to the Lord, I've been this way before. I mean, I cannot believe I'm fighting this thing again. I don't want to deal with it and so forth. And I had to shake that thing off of me of being disillusioned by what I was going through. So I was going through all of my books on my shelf, and a book fell into my hands. And the title of the book is The Necessity of an Enemy. Well, when I opened the book, a note fell out, and it was from Chuck. He said, I feel you need this book at this time. And I began to read the book, and what it was saying is that giants are needed in order to cause us to get promotion. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I got so excited. It's like, okay, I'm going through this. Instead of weeping, I should be excited that I can take off this giant, because without Goliath, David didn't get promoted to be with Saul. And without Judas betraying Jesus, he didn't get promoted to die for our sins to go to heaven so that we could have this where we're experiencing today all the goodness and the joy and the eternal life of the Lord. So instead of me weeping over this giant I'm looking at again, I rejoiced and I said, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm up for the battle. Moving right along. So I made it through that. And then I had asked the Lord, okay, what next? So this thing that I was going through, now I have joy. This thing that I was going through was still there. The giant, insurmountable odd, was still before me. So I said, Lord, I'm rejoicing. A season has changed, but I still need a word from you. And the Lord gave me Exodus 14, I believe it is, where the children of Israel were at the Red Sea. They had an enemy behind them, and they had the sea before them. But what? Look, they thought that they would never see that enemy again. They had come out of Egypt. God had done all of these miracles. That's where I was. I didn't think I would see this enemy again. Here I am facing this thing again. And so the Lord said to me, Lane, stand still and see the deliverance or the salvation of the Lord. I'm like, wow. Okay, so I continue to read. But then it goes on to say where for them to stand there in silence, and then he told Moses to stretch forth the rod. I say, what is my rod, Father? In order for this thing to open up, in order for me to see this enemy no more, what do I do? And I remember that when he said to the children of Israel, for them to stand still, you will not see this enemy anymore. Stretch forth the rod. I remembered the year of pay. It's the year of the mouth. So I knew that I was supposed to start decreeing in order for this Red Sea to open up before me and for this giant that I have been facing to be destroyed. You know, in this journey, some things I learned from reading the Word, some giants you take out right away, Goliath, and some giants are with you for a season, for a while. Saul was with David for a moment. But anyway, he overcame and became king. So I'm like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! That's a sign. sign for me of overcoming. Going back to Chuck's teaching, how the importance of us launching out into the deep. So what I felt the Lord was doing with me is my preparation for promotion. Why am I sharing this testimony with you? You are in preparation for promotion. As Chuck taught on last week, to prepare to launch out, hear the Lord, war with your prophetic words, be prepared, document, write down what the Lord is saying to you. Okay, so I'm moving forward, right? And one day, I'm cleaning out my closet, and a book fell into my lap again. And I'm like, I don't remember this book. Where did I get it? And the title of it is The Launching Pad. Does God have a sense of humor or what? So I text Chuck. I'm like, I got this journal. Don't know where I got it from, but it's the launching pad. I'm in the right place. I'm right on time. I'm doing what God has required of me. I'm running with the prophets, obeying the word, and I can expect promotion. So I want to encourage you. That's the purpose of this testimony. You may be in a season that seems hard. You may be in a changing season that you don't know what you're going to do, what's your next step, but I want to encourage you that the Lord is with you. Watch for the signs. That's Chuck told us that once in the prophetic word. Watch for the signs. I had signs all along the way to let me know, yes, my season is changing. Yes, I'm fighting a giant and insurmountable odd that is before me, but I am willing, I am ready, that all of this is only causing me to be prepared to launch into my new. So remember, greatness is ahead of you if you would stay with the Lord and be prepared on the launching pad.
We say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't tread on me.
Now, yesterday, twice, Pam and I read this out loud over all of us. Justin had no way of knowing that. Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. And the Lord says there's promises that are arising. But right now, there's something that's stirring that we must know. And I want you to just turn. I want you to pray over somebody and say they're shielded and they're protected and the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ is over them.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
And I say to you, this will be a week of new order. Watch as I reorder your steps, for I am preparing for you to find your new place of celebration. I say to you, I will reorder, and I will reorder, and I will reorder, and I will reorder, and I will reorder until grace is abounding within you and around you. Watch as I turn you. Watch as I pull you back. Watch as I show you some things that you need to see. Watch, watch, watch. For this will be a time where I am building you and getting you in a place so that you will celebrate into the future.
And the Lord says, no weapon, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But he says a lot of you have read that, and you haven't let it become part of who you are. He says, this week, I am coming with a new power from the very highest heavens to sit with you and allow you to just consume my word. And when I say no weapon, no weapon, I mean no weapon.
No weapon armed against me shall prosper. Don't tread on me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't tread on me.
Now, let me just say it a little differently. The next 5 weeks, there's this reordering going on with us. The Lord says, do some things you have wanted to do. The Lord says, pull aside and enjoy me in a way. Find a time to enjoy me. Find a time to hear me. For I am preparing you in a way to propel you into what I have for you.
Oh, say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't tread on me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't tread on me. Gone against the king, gone against the ground. Say, oh no, you've done it now. Time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading all around. How could you think he would stay down? Say, rumors spreading all around. Nothing but a liar.
Get on out of here, get on up and leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Chuck it on the blood. Go any further. I had four people yesterday said, well, but I heard this. I said, you can hear about anything you want to hear right now. I say to you during this 5 week period, protect how you hear. Protect how you hear. And you will know when God is saying something to you. Lord, I set a guard over our ears, not just our mouth, but our ears in Yeshua's name.
Because I've called you to be the salt in the stew that the prophets have brought forth in the body of Christ in the United States of America. And across the earth, I've called you to be the salt that sanctifies the stew. Be the salt this next 5 weeks.
Rumors spreading all around. How could you think he would stay down? I said, rumors spreading all around. Nothing but a liar. Get on out of here.
Oh,
I say to you, if you'll watch what you hear and what enters in through your ear gate, I will sharpen what comes out of your mouth. I say I must have a sharp people who live and operate as swords of fire in days ahead. So listen carefully before you open your ear gate, and then I will work my word into a sharp, powerful instrument for you to speak for.
Hey everyone, this is Joshua. So the revelation that came out Sunday was awesome. Chuck prophesied a lot, and one thing that stuck out to me was about reordering. For myself, it really meant it means a lot to me because I've recently retired or put bodybuilding on the altar. That was something that has been a big part of my identity for over 10 years now. And I felt like every time the Lord was wanting to birth something new in me, the season would always be usually right around the new year, and I would end up running back to bodybuilding. And several times I would try to quit, you know, and there was, you know, I hadn't competed in 4 years up until the last show I did in November. But leading up to that, it was a back and forth battle because I know there's greater in my identity, and I really put what I thought my identity was in bodybuilding. And you know, I felt like this last time going into the show, I had a grace to do it. And I had talked to Tobias and Simon about it leading up to the process. Because many times in the past, I would tell them, yeah, I'm going to do a show. I'm not going to do a show. And they would kind of, you know, roll their eyes at me. And who knows what they were thinking. I'm sure they had a lot of wisdom. And who knows. But I think in life, you still make your own choices and decisions. And God gives you free will. So I took it upon myself to do this last show. Well, getting into the show, my thoughts were, you know, I'm still going to try to pursue a pro card because growing up, that's what I've always wanted to be. I've really always wanted to be in ministry. I know that's my calling, but I was like, when I got into fitness, I was like, I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to be a professional bodybuilder. And so I did well on that show. Chuck sent me out the week before, which was awesome. The show was really well and I did well, and I had a lot of people come out and support me, and I felt like I accomplished what I was supposed to do. And weeks after that, you know, I was gearing up to start my off season and start preparing for the national shows to go for the pro card. And I really felt the Lord asking me, like, son, can you give this up? Are you ready to lay this down on the altar so I can fulfill what I want to in you? And this time around, I was really, it wasn't a hard thing to let go of when I thought it was going to be. And just, it was an easy transition. And so I laid it down, and, you know, I started reading Chuck's book about the altar, which is really good. Chuck and Alamu wrote a book about the altar. And I've been reading through that book. And when I laid that down, you know, sometimes you think when you lay stuff down, you're automatically going to go right into the next thing. And it hadn't been that case. So there's been, for me, like a dead space. So these past several weeks, it's a big deal to me because I really want to know my identity and who I am in Christ and really walk in the fullness of my identity. You know, I've got prophetic words. We all have prophetic words that the Lord's spoken over us. You know, we can probably compile years and years of, you know, single words for us individually. And I have a handful that my mom documented from when I was in high school, from people who came through and spoke at our churches. And all the prophecies are all the same. So I'll read over them occasionally, but, you know, you go back and you're like, man, Lord, am I really walking in that? Is this, you know, going to come to pass? And I've learned to really, you can't try to walk out your prophetic word. The Lord has to do that in you. So during this, I call it dead space for me, it's been very trying because when you don't know your identity, you're kind of, you're empty. So you're doing Me, I'm still working out, still training hard, but now there's no goal of like trying to compete or trying to get to some look or whatever to accomplish something. And so it's been pretty tricky. It's been actually discouraging. But I know God is with me, and this has been the best decision that I've made in my life probably over the past 10 years. But when Chuck was prophesying that about reordering, I'm going to reorder. He was prophesying about learning to hear before you hear. And then when you hear correctly, you're going to know what to speak. And so leading up to this, on Monday, I knew that after listening to those prophecies that I was to share for Shabbat this week. And so I'd been reading in Galatians over the past several days, and I got to chapter 5, and there's a lot of stuff there, but I really was pulling back to say, Lord, what are you saying? I want to hear correctly. I love reading Psalms in the mornings when I start my day, but I got up this morning and I'm like, Lord, I just don't have a full clear revelation of what you're wanting me to share. So I was still reading over Galatians 5, and maybe we'll get to that one day, which there's a lot of good stuff there. But I was drawn back to Psalms 25. And so what I just want to encourage y'all with is that in this time of being reordered, and what the Lord's wanting to do is, you know, it's for me, I think all of us, but it's really learning to let go of this religious side of us of thinking that things have to go like in this order. You know, God is outside of that. He's greater than that. But I think a lot of times, even in our pursuits or wanting to be holy and all that, we still get caught up in this religious way of doing things. And I'm the king of that. And I think we can all attest to that in some way, form or fashion. But He really wants us to be able to be still and know that He is God and really let Him take our lives day by day, moment by moment, step by step, and walk in a freedom and a celebration that we never have, especially with the way that the times are and how things are going. We're going to have to change individually and as a body to really fulfill what He's calling us to. But it's exciting. So the scriptures I want to leave y'all with to encourage y'all is in Psalms 25, and I'm reading out of the Passion, but I'm going to start in verse 4. And it says, Lord, direct me throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life plans that are pleasing to you. Escort me along the way. Take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my increasing salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours. Forgive my failures as a young man and overlook my sins of my immaturity. Give me grace, Lord. Always look at me through your eyes of love, your forgiving eyes of mercy and compassion. When you think of me, see me as one you love and care for. How good you are to me. When people turn to you, Lord, they discover how easy you are to please, so faithful and true. Joyfully you teach them the proper path, even when they go astray. So Lord, I just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in all of us, what you're doing in the body of Christ. But we thank you, Lord, that we can joyfully walk this path with you, walk this life with you. And I thank you, Father, for the celebration that you're going to have for each of us coming out of religion, coming out of the old, coming into our new identities, learning to really become who you created us to be. So I'll leave you all with that. We thank you, Father, for all the work that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, Tobias here. So happy to be able to share with you guys on the Shabbat. Shabbat is such an incredible time. I love being able to have a moment to just set and let the Lord reorder everything from the week. I love it because it's a time of rest, it's a time of peace, it is a time of shalom, and those are things that I ask the Lord to mark my life with. And so just before even I get started, I just want to ask the Lord that He rest His Spirit upon you as you're watching, upon your home, upon this room as we film here, upon the room as everyone else films. So Lord, we just invite your presence on this Shabbat, Father. We ask that you come and rest on us, that you come reorder us, that you come, Father, just renew and reestablish our spirit for the week ahead. As Chuck was prophesying on Sunday, I'm sure you guys have either seen the service or have seen the email that's gone out, but he gave an incredible word about 5 weeks of reordering and really 5 weeks of hearing differently. And so after that word on Monday, I was reading through John 10. That's the passage where the Lord is talking about himself as the shepherd. And I was reading out of the Passion, and I'm going to read it to you because the Lord spoke something to me that I thought was just an incredible revelation. But in verse 9, John 10, verse 9, it says, "I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction." And I read through that verse and I just had to stop because I said, okay, Lord, I want, that is a promise, and I either am going to believe it or I'm not going to believe it. So life, freedom, and satisfaction are three things that you are guaranteeing me, because I know that I have moved myself through your gate. I know that I am a sheep in your pasture and you are my shepherd. And so knowing that, I am coming into this reading, I am coming into this saying, I have to have these things. These are promises, and I am choosing to believe that your life, that your freedom, and your satisfaction are portions of my inheritance. And then verse 10 goes on to say, "A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd who lays down my life as a sacrifice for the sheep." Now there's a couple really, really cool things that the Lord said to me through this verse. But specifically what he stopped to tell me was this. He said, "The prosperity of the altar works like the widow and her oil. If you are faithful to offer the resource, I am faithful to provide the abundance. You should always have something new to sacrifice, another vessel to offer. If you don't, your cycle of prosperity has been erupted." And that really kind of just, it caught me up in a moment. And obviously he's referencing in 2 Kings 4 the story of the widow and her oil, and how she comes to Elisha and says, you know, "I have nothing, and my husband is dead, and these creditors are about to take my kids. They're about to come put them into slavery. So what do I do?" And the prophet says, okay, well, let's think about this for a second. What do you have in your house? What is the resource that you have in your house? And she said, "I have got nothing except one single jar of oil." And I felt like when I was thinking through that, the Lord was just like, that's really all that I need. All I need is just one resource. And the question is, are you willing to give me that resource? The question is, are you willing to offer that up when it's needed? Because you have to think about this. This widow, she's a widow, so there's nobody left in this house except her sons. You know, and so the threat of losing that generation, the threat of losing what she was seeing as her inheritance was there. It was real. And her choice was, okay, I'm either going to give up the prosperity of one season, which even though it's not much, but there's still this jar of oil, I'm either going to give this up to save the freedom of this generation, or I'm going to trust in something else. And it's like that with our altar. And to be honest, the Lord really has, I read through Chuck's book. I'm sure you guys know that Chuck and Alan have a book, a new book, Rekindling the Altar Fire. And it is incredible. I was engrossed in it. I still am. But over the last month or so, and really the last season, the Lord pulled me aside and he said, "I'm going to pull you aside because I have to rebuild your altar for this season." And so personally, I've been going through this process, and the Lord has been taking me through this process of saying, okay, let me strip down every stone that has already been built up, and let me start from the foundation of who I am in you. And let me build a new portion. Let me build a new altar in you from that place, from that foundation. And really looking through it, based upon something that Chuck had said to us as a staff, really you begin to see that foundation as a threshing floor. And so what the Lord was saying to me was, there is this altar of sacrifice, and there is this portion of prosperity that cannot be attained unless you can lay something down, even if it's just that one thing. Reading through verse 4 here in 2 Kings, Elisha says, "What shall I do for you? Tell me,
what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And I love that exhortation saying, go get everything that you can. Don't just go to the neighbor next to you. Don't just go to the neighbor in front of you. Get those boys that are about to be taken away. Use that resource and go collect every single empty vessel that you can possibly get your hands on. You know, and I don't know that she had any idea what was going to happen, but you know, she's just thinking, okay, I'm going to do what this prophet's telling me because I believe in the voice of the Lord and I'm going to exhibit some portion of faith. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another one. So the oil ceased. Now reading through John 10, how the Lord really spoke to me in this was in verse 10, John 10:10. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And when I looked at one of the footnotes in the Passion on that word slaughter, what it says is the Greek word thuo is not the usual word for kill. It means sacrifice or slaughter. And that's how the Lord really started talking to me, is in this season there is so much that He has restructured for such a time as this. And the Lord does not just rebuild. The Lord does not repurpose. The Lord does not say, okay, I'm expanding you for this season if He's not planning to fill. He is a God of abundance, as we read. He is a God of overflowing. He is a God of excess. He is a God of prosperity. That word in and of itself. And I can't get away from that word abundance, because that is who He is. That is His heart towards us. And He is calling us in this season to say, okay, I need something from you. I need you to continually be putting something on the altar. Because if you are continually putting something on that altar that I am rebuilding, that I have restructured inside of you, then that gives me the right to refill in a greater portion. And that is His cycle of prosperity, is us saying, okay, I'm going to give this small portion that I have, but I'm going to pour it out expecting that when I pour it out, all of these other vessels are going to be filled, because that is His nature. That is His goodness. That is His faithfulness. That is His heart towards us. And it pleases the Lord whenever we can say, here, Lord, here is a portion of what I have. Here is maybe just a little jar of oil. Or here, Lord, here is a little portion of my time. This is what I'm going to start with. But if you are humble and if your heart is set on saying, okay, Lord, there is nothing that I have that is not yours. There is nothing that I have that I don't want you to consume on that altar. That's what He's looking for. That pleases His heart. And really, to be honest, that really is kind of what Shabbat is about, isn't it? It's about saying, okay, this week that I just got through, I poured out. I gave everything that I had. I worked. I gave of myself. I was required to do things, and I exerted what I had. I laid that down and I gave you time. I gave you my portion. I gave you my identity. I gave out of everything that you have created me to be. And so now on this Shabbat, what I'm doing is I'm saying, now come and consume it all. Come and consume the sacrifice that is sitting there, because this week that's coming up, I need a greater portion of you. I need to understand a greater portion of your identity. I need to move in a greater prosperity. You know, I think about that widow and I thought she had a choice not to pour it out. She could have just collected and said, what is the point of this? Like, what is this oil going to do if I'm just swapping jars? You know, but she didn't, because she knew the voice of the Lord. She was a sheep in the shepherd's pen. She was familiar with the voice of prosperity. Even if that voice of prosperity was sitting in a single jar of oil, she knew, and it clicked and it resonated in her spirit that said, this is what I need for my future. And then the following verse, in verse 7, it says, then she came and told the man, this is after she had poured it all in and there's no more oil left, no more vessels left. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. And that is the prosperity of the altar that the Lord is calling us to in this season. He's saying, give all that you have, because there is a resource available that I'm going to call you out to go gather. Go gather all that you can. Go put out, go give yourself in every possible way as I call and as I lead you, because in those places is where prosperity is going to be. So this Shabbat, after a week that you have worked, after a week that you have given, after a week of being tired, after a week of even striving, we don't like to think that we strive, but we do in the midst of our work week, in the midst of emotional trauma, in the midst of everything that is in and of ourselves. On this Shabbat, I just encourage you to ask the Lord, say, Lord, I have given of who I am, and I am expecting you to come and consume on this altar everything. Come and thresh. Come send your spirit to blow away what is not the grain, what is not worth anything. Blow away that chaff from this week, and let me sit here on this Shabbat during this time and fill this vessel. Ask the Lord to refill the vessel. And so next week there's something else to pour out. So Lord, we say that during this Shabbat time, Father, we say that our vessels are empty. Lord, in any portion that we have tried to hold on to, Lord, throughout this week, Lord, we give a last pouring out. We say, take everything. It is yours to have. It is yours. We lay it down on this altar. We pour it out, Father, expecting that there is a greater infilling. Father, expecting that there is a greater manifestation of your Spirit coming to us. Father, we say that this Shabbat time is going to be full of abundance. Father, it's going to be full of your Spirit manifesting over us. Father, it's going to be full of who you are and your identity, and a new level of expectation for your identity to be flowing out of us. Father, we say that in this 5 weeks of reordering, Lord, that you are stilling us in the moment, Father, and that we are aligned to your voice. Father, I ask that all those whose emotions are running wild, Father, who look like around their surroundings and see that there is nothing but lack, Father, we know that you are a God of abundance and a God of prosperity, Father, and so we say, let your name be manifest in our midst. Let your goodness, let your faithfulness, let your kindness, let that shepherd anointing, Father, come and set the course, Father, of this week ahead as we rest in your Shabbat, as we rest during this time. Be the Lord of our Shabbat in this time and in this moment. I bless you guys, and I say go out in the prosperity of the altar and be abundant through his name and by his voice. Blessings.
Well, hey everyone, and thank you once again for joining us for our Shabbat services. I know I may be a little biased, but that last message from Tobias, my brother, was really awesome. Everyone's was awesome, but I love that word that Chuck gave on Sunday that we got to see about the 5 weeks. I know that I am really looking forward to seeing how God is moving each and every week. And guess what? I'm going to be here with y'all going through it for these Shabbat services over the next 5 weeks, so we can, you know, kind of see what's going on together. But we bless you all. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy life. That is, you know, that's in order. You got to enjoy life. Enjoy the people around you. Enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy your work as you're pressing forward. Enjoy your rest. We just bless you as you go. We'll see you on Sunday.